Welcome to the Defence Forces podcast, brought to you by the Defence Forces Public Relations Branch.
Hello and welcome to the Defence Forces podcast. My name is Captain Kian Clancy, and today we're going to be speaking to the Chief Defence Forces Psychologist, Commandant Dorota O'Brien, about ways to look after your mental health during the COVID-19 outbreak. So welcome, Commandant O'Brien. Thanks very much for taking the time to come on to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. So what, as we discussed the last day, what we're looking to do is we're going to treat it like a kind of a clinic environment and an informal environment. So we're going to go on a first-term basis for the course of the podcast. So Dorota, do you want to give us a bit of a breakdown of kind of your background in the Defence Forces and kind of why this sort of thing is important right now?
Yeah, sure, Kian. So I'm in 12 years. I'm a military clinical psychologist. And what I do on a daily basis, I look after mental health of our personnel.
Okay, and in the current climate with regard to, say COVID-19 and the restrictions going on, it must be a really important aspect of life to look after mental health at the moment.
I think right now with all the restrictions, I think everybody is feeling it, and people are having a wide range of emotions. Some people might get worried, some people might get stressed, some people find quite boring, or you know, they get angry. So I think it would be very important to look into different techniques which will help people to alleviate that those feelings.
Yeah, of course. So when we were talking about doing a podcast on this originally, we kind of thought we'd break it down into a number of different sort of categories that maybe would make it easier for people to follow through on the various aspects of mental health during a crisis like COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So I think we'd said we were going to go through some of the behavioural aspects of it. Mm-hmm. Might look at some thought-based aspects of it, feelings and physiological responses, and then we look at a breathing exercise style scenario which you can use yourself at home or which our listeners can use themselves at home. Mm-hmm. So with regard to behaviours and looking after behaviours in the face of COVID-19, what are we talking about? What do we mean by that section?
Mm-hmm. So I think the really first thing which is really important is to stay informed. And what I mean by that is to kind of look where you're getting your information from. So I would really recommend people to look at the platforms which are the ones which are accepted, you know, official information. And within that, limit your exposure to it. So for instance, some people, you know, tend to watch news quite a lot, constantly refreshing websites and pages. What I would say, it's maybe once a day, if you stick to the main news, maybe 6 or 9 o'clock, and then get your information over there.
Okay.
Another thing where we get our information from is obviously social media. There's a lot there. There's a lot on Facebook, Twitter, and things like that. With that, you know, the difficulty with it is that based on emotions, okay? So they're going to make you feel a certain way. So what I would advise is to actually limit your social media usage because of that. So when you're going through things and not might be aware of how is that affecting you emotionally, you might get more anxious or more upset, thinking that, okay, you're just reading news. Mm-hmm. But it's how those social media platforms are created.
Okay, so it kind of sounds to me like what we're talking about is like things that people are doing externally, as in like looking at too much social media or focusing too much on the news is it like a behavior, a thing that you're doing yourself that maybe limiting that would be a kind of a good idea in order to sort of mitigate you know, negative feelings during the current crisis. So are there any other things besides staying informed in a healthy way that one can do, or there any other kind of...
Yeah, that's the first thing. So, you know, with that, what I would go next is to say to people that having a daily routine is really important. Okay, so obviously in the current climate with the restrictions, with quite a lot of people being, you know, at home or kids being home, no schools and things like that. For instance, you might think that not going to work will allow you to stay in bed for a little bit longer and things like that. It will work for a while, but then at the week two or week three, as we are now, week four, you find yourself being overwhelmed with various things because you don't have the routine. So having the daily routine. But with that, I think it's very important to adapt to it, what's already right now. And when I was, you know, working with people from overseas, you can see the same level of adaptation while they go overseas, for instance. Yeah. So you move into a different country, you're there for 6 months, and you have to adapt and adjust to the new environment. So I think some of the soldiers would be very resilient and very well equipped to actually deal with the situation because of the previous overseas experience. So something like that. So having routine, but knowing that, okay, it's different. You know, you have kids at home, or maybe, you know, your partner's at home, or maybe your partner's in work, or you both, you know, frontline workers, and you both have to be in work. So there's a lot of adjustment going on there. But sticking with your daily routine, I think, is a very important thing.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we can all say that, say, if we've been at home and we haven't been doing anything regularly, or we've been just lazing around and haven't had our, I say, our blocks in the middle of the day or our times to do things, you do end up feeling a little bit flat, and and it can, I presume, it can lead to sort of negative feelings in that sense.
Absolutely. You know, and with that, the other, you know, the other behaviors alongside with the daily routine, what you need to look into is, Kian, would be, you know, of course, your, for instance, your eating habits.
Yeah.
You know, so what you eat and how you eat. And, you know, being at home and maybe not having the pressure of going into work the next day, some people might, you know, drink alcohol excessively, or you know, drink caffeine too much.
This is, you said to me as well, I was earlier drinking too much coffee.
That's another cup. You know, and it's only, you know, it's only 11 o'clock. So something like that, knowing that actually the reason why I say that is because it leads your, you know, to increased anxiety. You might think that, you know, oh yeah, it feels good to have a drink and you might feel relaxed. However, it's actually the opposite.
Yeah.
You know, you might elevate your anxiety a bit further.
Okay, yeah. And as regards, like, your eating habits outside the drink as well, I presume, like, home-cooked meals and using maybe meals as a thing to help your routine, having your meals at a certain time to sort of build your routine around if you're at home.
Absolutely.
For, say, families of personnel who aren't necessarily in work.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there's an activity you could include your children with, or that could lead, for instance, if you think about behaviors, you know, picking up an activity which absorbs you, so cooking can be something you say, okay, do you know what, I'm not great at that, but I will spend some time developing a new skill. Yeah, so it can lead, okay, well, I have to eat healthy, or be good for me to eat healthy, and I can work on my eating habits, and I can work my cooking skills.
Yeah, so I suppose, like, if you have extra time at the moment as well, with regard to behaviours, it might be a good idea to, like, pick up a hobby, or, you know, like, if you, say, increase the amount you're reading, or as maybe, I don't know, my mother does jigsaws, but, you know, that kind of thing, I suppose that would be a good strategy to take.
Anything which, you know, interests you right now, and might, you know, help you to you know, decrease the anxiety you might have around being at home all the time, or being restricted. Obviously, exercise is one of the things. So doing everything like that, you know, from, you know, running within the, you know, 2 kilometers radius, or doing yoga, or anything like that. You said jigsaws, stay at home activities, you know, with yourself, with your kids, with your partner. Learning how to play an instrument. I think people need to be a little bit flexible and creative around that.
Yeah.
Because we are restricted, so there's many things which are closed at the moment. So you are at home, so you use your creativity. Or even, you know, some people would find themselves cleaning. You know, obviously not being obsessive about that, but just doing things you never had time to do. Okay?
Great, yeah. No, that sounds really useful for people, like taking a positive step and slightly kind of changing their behaviour.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, with regard to exercise inside the 2 kilometre limit, obviously from a military perspective, most soldiers are very used to that. But, I mean, I presume it would be a good thing to bring along, to bring the family along, maybe bring the kids along. It's a fun activity to do, maybe something outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, actually, I do with myself. I have 3 kids and, well, the youngest is too small, she's only 4, but the other two, what we do with the Daily Mile, I think that's the initiative they have at school. They do a little run, which is 1 mile long, and kids can do it. They, you know, my kids are 11 and 8, so every evening we just go, it's around 10 minutes around the block, and, you know, it's a little healthy activity you can do with them.
Great.
And you can bring the dog. Well, we bring the dog as well.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I imagine contact with animals and things is always nice. Mm-hmm. It's always a good stress reliever.
Mm-hmm. Just about the exercise. I think yesterday I saw the videos which are available on, you know, Defence Forces exercise website, which is great.
Yeah.
So it's something you can do at home. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to have any equipment. And you can kind of
exactly. It's great, and I was actually just going to mention that for anybody listening at home or serving personnel, or even if you're not serving, or you're not a family of a serving member, on our members area of military.ie we do have a link to an exercise video that was done by the Defence Force Physical Education School, and as Drought referenced, you don't require anything for it. It's a nice thing to be able to follow along if you're looking for ideas of ways to keep active and keep fit at home.
Mm-hmm.
So with regard to kind of behaviours and positive behaviours that we can take, what do we talk about, say, sleep? I know we talked about sleep a bit earlier and getting up at regular times, but say the amount of sleep you're getting. I mean, for a lot of people, it might sound really attractive to get 10 or 11 hours of sleep a night, but is that excessive, or should you try and keep your normal sort of times?
Yeah, of course, normal times. Yeah. So I think initially when the whole thing started, people were like, oh yeah, I can stay at home, I can sleep longer. Yeah, but we are 4 weeks into it. So, you know, things which were okay at the start, maybe not okay at the moment.
Yeah.
So I think it is, you know, going to bed and getting up at regular times. Just because you're home and you're sitting on the couch, maybe watching a program, doesn't mean you have to nap with it, because that means, you know, you might have a difficulty falling asleep later on. So all the little, you know, bits and bobs around your sleep hygiene, they're very important right now, because you are at home a bit more. So, you know, you make sure that your bedroom is for sleeping, that it's nice and it's airy and it's pleasant to sleep in. If you're struggling, you know, to fall asleep, or if you find yourself oversleeping because, you know, you're home all the time. So what else can I do? I can nap all the time, or I can sleep too long. That's not healthy either.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, for an adult, it would be, you know, between maybe 6 to 8 hours a night. You know, it's different for kids.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very good. Okay, so having spoken about what we kind of do in our daily lives on a day-to-day mm-hmm. basis, the kind of behaviours that we can change, our modes of thinking are affected by the current crisis as well, I presume. What would you mm-hmm. kind of advise us, or what would you say about that?
Mm-hmm. So I think even, you know, being at home a little bit more and having time to think, we do think, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, it's quite important to track how we think about things. And in the current environment, I kind of tend to hear that people turn into those negative thoughts. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty because we don't know how it's going to, you know, how it's going to go, when it's going to end. So I think it's very important to kind of track your way of thinking. Yeah. So with that, what I mean by that is to find out what are your thinking patterns. Yeah. So obviously you can be quite positive, you can be quite negative, or be quite realistic. But that tendency currently is people tend to think negatively. Yeah? So there's something which in psychology we call negative automatic thoughts. Those kind of thoughts where you think negatively about what's coming out at you, you know. So what you might find yourself is maybe you be catastrophizing a little bit more, or something we just call personalization, when you think, you know, it's my fault, or it's all me. You're not seeing the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's okay, it's only happening to me, or it's because of me.
Yeah.
Or another way of you know, things is kind of discounting the positives, and just seeing the negatives. Yeah. So for instance, if I do a little test with you, so I have a blank page here, right? And I'm showing you a page. What can you see?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just for the listeners at home, so Gerard has just picked up a page, just put a mark on a page, and it's a blank page. So what you'd naturally see is, well, I see a dot on a blank page.
Black dot. Yeah, yeah, so this big,
dot.
Huge A4 white page.
Yeah.
And what you are focusing is on the little black dot. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that
yeah.
kind of tendency in our perception to focus on negative things. Mm. Yeah. So these are all the ways of how people tend to think. Yeah. So it's quite negative. So it's kind of tracking your way of thinking. I'm not saying that that's the way how you think about it. It's just these are the pitfalls of people might fall into.
Yeah,
and when they
course.
Have more time and you know, with the anxious climate outside, it can be quite negative.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, I mean, it is a frightening time. People mm-hmm. are getting scared for themselves, for their loved ones, for mm-hmm. you know, elderly relatives and things. And like, I suppose there's a loss of control there for people, which people mightn't be used to as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, like, so just to avoid the negative pitfall in that, it's to look at things you can change and things you can control. Yeah? So rather than looking, okay, things I cannot control, things will scare me, unknown, you say, okay, within all of that, and that behavior is, you know, just what we spoke about, all the things we do control, all the things we have influence on, it's very important to think that way, okay? Another thing which is coming to my mind is, and there's obviously a few practical tips for people who tend to think maybe a little bit negatively.
Mm-hmm.
It's to try, first you need to know that your thoughts is negative. So what I was saying, you know, kind of track your thoughts. find out, okay, you know, how am I thinking about something? Is it negative or is it positive or is it neutral? So if you find yourself that, okay, it is quite negative, like a black scenario of a situation.
The black dot on the page.
Exactly. What I would recommend is to kind of find an alternative way of thinking. Yeah? So you don't have to go from very negative to very positive, because that might not work. That, you know, you might not believe in that. So rather than just being, you know, one from the other, trying different way, alternative way of that scenario. Yeah. So is there any other way? So with that, you might say, okay, what's the evidence for that? Yeah. Right. So people tend to say, oh, you know, it always happens to me. You know, it is going to be like that. I am going to catch the virus. Or okay, so what are the figures for that? Yeah. So, you know, if you worry about something, examine the evidence, which is a strong evidence. But okay, you know, for instance, you might not catch it if you follow the guidelines. Yeah. If you stay home and, you know, wash your hands and all of that. And it comes along to everything. You know, it doesn't have to be just about the virus. It can be any way of negative thinking when you just check in the evidence. Okay. Another kind of practical way when I said like, you know, personalized things. So things don't happen because of me. So they kind of blame them. It's and they become very harsh on themselves. Another kind of tip to do to kind of work around it is to use what I call like a friend approach. Yeah. So like a second person approach. So ask yourself, would you say that to your friend? So imagine you have a friend who comes into you and says, oh, this is not happening. And would you be so harsh towards him?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Sometimes people mightn't really be able to see normally, like as in what I'm saying to myself in my own head.
Oh, yeah, not acceptable. Oh, look at you. You know, you might be, you know, or look at you, you know, fool and
it's
things like that.
It's not like that. You're going to be going around and confronting other people with left, right and centre.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's very
interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so if you say, like, would you say to a relative or a friend or people, you say, no, I wouldn't, because that's very harsh or that's very cruel to say to anybody. So why do you say it to yourself?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, why are you so negative, you know, towards yourself? Another one which I find quite good is to focus on things which bring you, you know, happiness and things like that. So positive, naturally, you know, work on your association. So if you associate some of your thoughts around things which make you smile or make you feel relaxed, if you find out what they are, then you find out what makes you, you know, more relaxed and happier and more positive.
Okay. Yeah, well, they all sound like kind of good techniques. Like, so, logically thinking, evidence-based thinking, and like I suppose there's an element there of consciously telling yourself to, well, you're looking at it in this way, just try and look at it in maybe the opposite way or in
exactly, you know, yeah. Because if you think of it, like, it's so important, because how we think about things is going to make us feel a certain way, yeah. Mm-hmm. How we think about things is going to make us do certain things. Yeah, so if you look at your thought process, say, okay, well, that's going to, you know, influence how I, you know, how I behave, how I react to certain things. Yeah, that's why it's so crucial to know your ways of thinking. Yeah, so you just check in with yourself first. I'm not saying it's negative. It's quite important to know where it is.
And I suppose would that tie into like being self-aware, like just your awareness of yourself and kind of what, you know, realizing the way you're actually thinking and making a conscious effort to be
Self-aware.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so not just allowing the thoughts to come in and out, but saying, okay, well, assess them. Yeah, so maybe if they are negative, because there is a lot of negativity out there. There is a lot of, you know, anxiety and stress and people are worried. Yeah, so how they speak about it is in kind of negative terms, on worry terms. So you might, you know, you might absorb it and then you might find yourself, you know, staying at home and dwelling on things like that, which is actually, you know, it's quite negative. So it's all about, it's kind of checking in your thought process.
Checking in on your thought process. And how is that, just from the point of view, it's very fashionable at the moment. I really don't know a whole lot about it, but people talk a lot about, I'm sure you probably know what I'm going to say, but people talk an awful lot about mindfulness at the moment. Is that connected to this concept, or is that part of a different sort of concept of what we're talking about, or...?
It's of course it's connected, yeah. So the concept we are talking about, for people who might be familiar with, it's, you know, kind of, it's based on cognitive behavior therapy, which has the four components of behaviors, thoughts, emotions, and body reactions, yeah. But mindfulness is all over it, yeah. So being aware being aware of where you are, who you are, what are you thinking, what are you feeling. Yeah? So it's kind of increasing your overall awareness.
Okay, so it takes in everything, like, so.
Yeah.
So I kind of suppose at this point, like, it'd be a good mm-hmm. opportunity to kind of talk about our own feelings and mm-hmm. how we may feel. You mentioned at the top of the podcast that we were talking about, like, you may feel frustrated. It's not all just feeling anxious. It could be frustrated, it could mm-hmm. be angry, mm-hmm. boredom. Mm-hmm. Like, how can people sort of deal with those feelings, or how do you know, how dealing with how they're being made to feel, like?
Yeah, sure. I think that's the key component for me in here, emotions. It's how you feel. Yeah, so everything is associated with how you feel, because you feel a certain way, you do certain things, or you think a certain way. So I would really emphasize emotions and emotional awareness and feelings, because that's the key. So that's how I work with people. You know, I work towards, you know, increasing the emotions, awareness and being in touch with your own emotions. Yeah.
Okay.
So with that, with your question, so first of all, I think it's very important to be able to identify your emotions. Yeah. So everything makes you feel something. And you know how I reference the social media, it's based on emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just dry facts, which you might get on the official platforms. And social medias are based on likes,
yeah.
Yeah, or follow-ups or retweets. Yeah, so it's all emotionally based. And even how people present certain things, it's driven by emotion. So it makes you feel a certain way. So you might be reading something and you're not aware of how that triggered that emotion. So first you need to identify your emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So for instance, so how are you feeling right now? Okay.
How am I feeling? Feeling a little
just
bit...
Just take your time, take a few minutes.
Take a few seconds. Get my head into my own emotions.
There you go.
Feeling a little bit...
Not to put you on the spot there.
I suppose you feel a little bit of low-level anxiety all the time, but that might have something to do with all the coffee I've drank. But or the fact that we're all being recorded on a podcast. But yeah, so low level kind of a little bit anxious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe mm-hmm. it's to do with COVID-19 as well. Who knows? Mm-hmm.
So in this moment, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's something like that. You identify how you're feeling right now. Yeah, maybe later on, if you manage to get out early or manage to go for a nice walk because it's a nice day, you might feel differently. In half an hour, when that's over, you might feel differently. So it's kind of learning. Yeah, it's a learning curve to identify how am I feeling right now,
yeah.
and tracking it and checking it, because it's a huge wide range of emotions out there, and everything makes us feel a certain way, and because of how things makes us feel, you know, we do or we don't do certain things. For instance, if you think about emotional eating, yeah,
yeah.
So why we sometimes tend to do certain things or eat certain things or drink a bit more, it's all connected by emotions. Yeah, so if you learn how to identify your emotions, it'll be so much easier to regulate your mood. It'll be so much easier to cope with so many things if you know what you're feeling in the moment.
And so yeah. Would you advise people, say, during the day, maybe just stop for a second and just think to themselves, okay, how really and honestly, how am I feeling right now?
Mm-hmm.
And why do I feel like that? What is really bothering me, or what is...
Well, see, that's the next step. So first yeah. of all, you're trying to learn how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So, you know, kind of stepping into what's causing it, it's later on. To be able to answer that, you need to know how you're feeling in the moment.
Okay.
So it's kind of, first of all, think about insight into your emotional world and emotional awareness. These are kind of the two words. So if you increase your emotional awareness, you know how you feel. So yeah, check in with yourself. How does it make me feel? Okay, I'm reading something. I've just learned something. I just got a phone call of someone. Or is a nice day or a bad day? Or, you know, I made a meal or I didn't make the meal. How is all that making me feel? Or the kids are driving me crazy. You know, how is that
yeah.
making me feel? Or how, all of it. So just learning first how you feel throughout
okay,
the day.
And once say you've identified that you're feeling mm-hmm. like a negative emotion, like what kind of strategies would you... advise to deal with that or to help that feeling? I mean, obviously you can't give a magic pill for someone to change the way they feel, but you can maybe offer some kind of ways mm-hmm. of...
But it's not about changing how you feel. It's accepting
okay.
how you feel. Yeah. So we're not looking at the, oh, you should be feeling a certain way. Just because you feel like that, it's okay.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's you identify how you feel and then you try to accept it. Okay, well, that's, you know, it makes me feel anxious or it makes me feel angry. It is frustrating that I don't know when's that going to end. Or, or it's frustrating the school has to close and why I'm supposed to, you know, the kids all the time. So things like that. So it's about accepting not changing it.
Okay, and so like accepting that it's okay to feel frustrated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I presume that there's kind of shame is probably tied up. If I'm at home and I feel frustrated or angry, mm-hmm. then you also feel, you might feel ashamed because you mm-hmm. don't want to be mm-hmm. frustrated or angry in mm-hmm. front of family members. But mm-hmm. it's about accepting that it's okay to feel like that, that you're not
yes.
doing anything wrong.
Absolutely. It's about acceptance. Yeah, acceptance how you feel. The state you're in, it's you know, and obviously, just to be clear, we're talking about normal limits here. Yeah. So we're not talking about people who are quite unwell and they, you know, might escalate on some of the emotional reactions. Yeah. We're just talking about average people who just might feel a certain way in the moment.
Okay.
It's all about accepting it. Yeah.
Okay, very good.
Allowing it to be, you know, it's almost like if you're trying to push out the image of your head from your head. It's keep popping up, and you're trying to push it. The same with emotion. If you're trying to deny it, if you're trying to avoid it, it won't go anywhere. You might try to ignore it for a while, but it will come back, usually with double force. So if you accept it, if you let it flow, probably it will just go away itself.
And so, Dorota, one of the things that we talked about as well, kind of with regard to emotions, was triggers, or you mentioned triggers. Can you tell us a bit more about what you mean by that?
I think you kind of jump ahead a little bit earlier. So first is identifying, then accepting the emotion, and then kind of learning what the trigger is. You know, you might know what the trigger is. Might be kind of a very clear link of, oh, I'm feeling like that because something just happened, or I just got some news or something like that. But sometimes it's not so obvious. Yeah. So it's almost like, again, increasing your awareness of this whole situation, emotional situation, how things make you feel. So it's just, you know, asking yourself that question. Oh, do I know what just triggered that? Why am I reacting like that? But it's allowing yourself that space, that emotional space of I'm paying attention to my emotional state. Yeah, I'm allowing it to develop. Yeah, I'm allowing it to play out. So those few little questions. Yeah, we usually have a tendency to jump over. Yeah, so certain things makes us feel a certain way, and we just don't pay attention. And then there's the build up at the end of the day where, I don't know, I might just lose my head, or I get really angry, or have a road rage, or come back home and you know, snap at the kids. Okay, yeah. Obviously it's not the kids because they haven't seen me all day. I'm bringing my emotions from somewhere else. So if I'm aware how certain things make me feel throughout the day, I will not come in home and snap at the kids because I will process it throughout the day.
Because you're aware of where it's coming from. So,
yeah. Or if I come in, and sorry to cut you there, but if I come in and I do find myself being stressed or anxious or angry, I might say to the kids, I need a few minutes just to kind of regulate myself emotionally.
Okay,
if that's possible. But I can only do that if I know how I feel.
Exactly. And if you have a clear path as regards, and you know where it's coming from, and mm-hmm. you, and it makes you feel, I would think it would make you feel more secure if you were aware of yourself emotionally in that way, and you'd feel, you wouldn't be,
mm-hmm.
you would
oh,
kind of
absolutely.
Feel ashamed for feeling it because you would know where it's from and why.
Yeah, absolutely. If you don't criticize yourself for how you feel, if you accept of how you feel, that's of course is going to increase your, you know, safety and security and things like that.
Okay, so like with regard to triggers, that kind of leads us on nicely to what we talked about, the kind of the body response or the mm-hmm. physiological response that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So when we do is that what we mean? Do we mean like as in maybe lashing out, getting cross with somebody who's not their fault? But is that what we mean by mm-hmm. physiological response, or do we mean something else?
Yeah, as well. But because these are more like behaviors, so mm-hmm. the first kind of things we spoke about, by, you know, body reactions, they you know, I mean, for instance, having physical reactions. So some people might get very, I don't know, they sweat a lot when they get angry, or you might feel that your heart is palpitating when you get anxious, or you might get adrenaline rush because of something. So literally like physical reactions of how you are feeling, you know, how emotions are, you know, kind of circulating inside your body, and you have a physical reaction to it. Yeah. So, you know, with that, what I was thinking here and to do, and you might be surprised, but I think it'd be a good idea to maybe do a little exercise.
Okay, a little. Okay, what kind of an exercise are we proposing?
Breathing exercise. Breathing exercise.
Okay.
So, you know, that might help, you know, people to learn how to do tactical breathing. Yeah, and it's something, it's very widely practiced. It's used in mindfulness and many, many different types of therapies.
Okay, and would this be something that, say, you mentioned coming home and you say you're looking for a minute to just regulate your emotions. Would this be something that you could do in that minute?
Absolutely.
Or just when you're standing aside, just...
100%. Or you can do it even, you know, just before you enter the house, yeah? Because once you enter the house, you might be overwhelmed with other things which are in the house. But just before you enter the house, when you're either driving home or just when you pull in the driveway, you know, do a little breathing exercise.
Okay, cool. So, yeah.
Would you be okay to do it? Yeah.
So how does it set up? Or what does
sure.
one do?
So what I would like you to do again, I would just want you to sit comfortably, okay? And if you feel okay, if you feel safe and secure, you can close your eyes, okay? So sit back and and people can do that. So if people are at home listening to the podcast or if they're walking, obviously don't close your eyes if you're driving, but please don't close your
please
eyes
don't close your eyes operating heavy machinery or anything like that.
But if you're at home and you're sitting down, you can you know, make yourself feel comfortable and you know, close your eyes. So what we're going to do, we're going to use like a rule of four. So what we're going to do, we're going to slowly inhale for four.
Okay, so
pause for a second. I will talk you through it, and then exhale for four. And you know, ideally you can do it for 4 minutes. So I want you to inhale for four. So in your head, you inhale 1, 2, 3, 4. Pause, and now slowly exhale number four. 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. And do one more time. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pause. And slowly exhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. And ideally, you know, you can do it for a few minutes, yeah? So you can really start feeling. You can focus on your breathing and you can feel your body is relaxing and the, you know, the tension is flowing away, you know, when you exhale and inhale, exhale slowly. Okay. So when you're ready, you can just come back and you open your eyes. So how was that?
I feel a lot more relaxed than to say.
And we only did this for a few seconds, you know, but ideally it's a number of four. So, you know, inhale, exhale for four and try to do it for 4 minutes.
Yeah.
So you can really get into it.
Because even in that short time, you can feel yourself relaxing, and it does feel relaxing. It does feel quite nice just to breathe in and just be quiet for a while. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, I can see the use in that. I can see that that'd be a useful thing for people to maybe practice at home. So just to summarize what you said, so you sit comfortably somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and you close your eyes.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have to.
Okay.
Yeah, and you just do that. And as I said, you can do it while you're driving, yeah? You can do it while you're walking. It's kind of it's slowing down. It's being aware of your breathing. So you're focusing on your breathing. Yeah.
Okay. So obviously, again, to people, don't close your eyes when you don't have to close your eyes. So don't close your eyes when you're driving or walking or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that does feel quite relaxing. Mm-hmm. So I mean, it's a nice kind of simple strategy that people can practice.
Yes. Yeah.
So like, is there anything else that you'd say to people at home at the moment to our members and their families? About looking after mental health. I mean, we've gone through an awful lot of stuff there that I think is really mm-hmm. useful to people.
Yeah, stay safe. Oh, and of course, if anything, if you feel overwhelmed by anything, or you're unwell, please, you know, seek professional help.
Okay.
As I said, you know, for average people, that's fine. These are the basic tips. That, you know, it is basic. But if you find yourself being unwell or overwhelmed, I think it's very important to look for professional help.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks very much for that, Dorota.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Very welcome for coming on. Thank you very much. I think there's a lot there for people to use at home. What I would say, with regard to resources available, so for our members and their families, if you visit the members area at www.military.ie, you'll find all the resources there with regard to COVID-19 and stuff for families at home, from exercise videos to mental well-being videos to literature that you can use and frequently asked questions. So we'd really advise you all to go and visit that. And thanks very, very much for listening. And I'm sure we'll catch you again with another episode. Thanks very much.